Yo, I said, what's up?
Yo, what's good, bro?
What up, Mike, man? I'm saying, everything good?
Everything good, bro. Just love the gym, man. Trying to get it in over here, bro.
Right. I'm saying, like you ain't kill it, bitch. You know what I'm saying? What body part you hit?
Nah, I ain't too much kill it today. On Sundays I kind of, do a little bit of, kind of relaxation kind of workout. For the most part, I did a few push-up jumping jacks, just to warm up my body a little bit. Some box squats where I put my leg on a box and squat that way, one leg at a time.
Okay.
Then I did incline on the treadmill for about a good 10 minutes just to give my legs a little burn. But I went and sat in the jacuzzi for about a good 10, 15 minutes afterwards to kind of like loosen my muscles and stuff up. I go to LA Fitness. So they got, little recoup things in there just to help you, help you loosen your muscles up and stuff after your workouts.
Okay. That's dope. I mean, you can be able to, like I'm saying, like to get in a the pool, with some water.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. That jacuzzi definitely helps, man. That's one thing that I really don't be hearing a lot of people talk about. They talk about the workout, but they don't talk about the recoup afterwards, man. I used to work out and stuff when I was playing football, and then your arms and stuff be sore and stiff for like 2 days. You can barely move your arms properly, lift your arms up.
Yeah,
But yeah.
you're right.
But using that jacuzzi, man, I honestly haven't had too many of those days since I've joined this gym, because of the recoup things. I can go in there and loosen my muscles up and stuff. So pretty good on that, man. But yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, hey, let's just go ahead and say, like, get into it, man.
Okay. All right. What we got?
Okay. Tell me, like, about your upbringing.
Well, I grew up in a little place called Mount Pleasant, Florida. It's like 20, 30 minutes outside of the Tallahassee area going toward the west. And I spent like 18 years of my life there going to school in the Greensburg area and stuff. Then my senior year, I transferred to East Gaston, and I was there my senior year. And then after that, I went to Tallahassee Community College after I graduated from high school for a little while. And then I left Tallahassee area, and now I moved over here to the Jacksonville area about maybe 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, something like that.
Okay. Like he's gas. I'm saying.
It was straight. I mean, it was big. It was much bigger than West Gas, and I could definitely say that. But I was out there for only 1 year, so I mean, I'm a cool guy, so I get along with everybody. But I kind of missed, my homeboys and stuff back in at West Gaston and stuff. That was my biggest thing. But everything else at East Gaston was pretty straight. It was pretty cool. They made sure we was, straight and comfortable out there. I don't know how it is now, but but
Right,
everything
right.
was pretty straight out there. Now one thing I can say is that the football team, it was a little bit different because that's why I transferred, because I was playing football. The football team was a little bit different. I'm gonna just say they take it a little bit more serious. They did take it a little bit more serious at West Gaston than East Gaston. East Gaston was more of a basketball school. They like basketball a lot, so I understood, that's their upbringing, that's what they like, and all that. I understood all of that. But yeah, I was more of a football player, so I tend to have a little bit of biasness on that, I guess you can call it.
I mean, like when you in all uncharted territory, like you comfortable for one reason, but they ain't taking
Oh
it
yeah.
on like it's you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, man, I had to go out there and take it, bro. I was a senior, so because I was on a new team, I had to go out there and fight for my starting position. But I did what I
Okay,
had
so
to do.
you start. That what's
Yeah,
up.
I started. It was, some things went on. I ain't gonna get into too much detail with it. But me and one of the coaches just had a little disagreement, and I didn't get to start as much as I wanted to, but I did start.
I mean, that's all that matters. Like you always say that you start. Like you went out there, you
Right,
wasn't
and
even.
earned my position, right? And the crazy thing is, I was one of the shortest guys on the team, bro. All the dudes out there was way bigger than me, even though some of them was younger than me. They was just way bigger than me. I don't know what they was eating over there, but they was all bigger than me.
Right. Well,
Yeah, man.
tell me one thing. How do you like? Like Jacksonville.
Man, Jacksonville is nice, bro. I moved over here because I was doing Uber, and I was doing a lot of traveling. After I stopped working at Walmart, I was a manager at Walmart. But after I stopped working there, I started doing Uber full time. It was more money. It was, less stressful. I could make my own schedule. I get to write off a lot of stuff on my taxes and stuff since I'm basically an independent business owner through the company. So I was just doing a lot of traveling and stuff all over Florida, and
Okay.
traveling, going hitting Miami, Tampa, Orlando, just different events and stuff that was going on. I would go and Uber for the event, maybe grab a hotel for a night or something like that, and then come on back on the Tallahassee area. But Jacksonville was only 2 hours away, so I was kind of coming over here kind of frequently, and they got a football team, so when they have home football games, I try to come over and grab a little bit, because they always have different little concerts and all that afterwards. But I every time I came over here, I would run into like a business opportunity with people. It was a lot of business opportunities, a lot of young business-minded people, young people, just started new job, new businesses, new companies and stuff, trucking companies, just all kinds of stuff, And I was like, you know what? It's a lot of opportunity over here, but there's not a lot of people here. And honestly, believe it or not, a lot of people really don't know about Jacksonville like that, because it's not, I want to say like well developed, like Miami and Orlando and stuff like that. It's just big, but it's a little
Right,
bit of
right.
excitement in the city, to enough to like, keep you going. But it ain't like, Miami fun. But I just moved over here, bro, because I saw opportunity, man. And I was like, it's kind of time for me to spread my wings. I grew up over there in the Gaston County area, in the Leon County area. And I was there for, I was 26 years old, because I've been over here for like 3 years, and I'm 29 now. So I was there for till I was like 26 years old, and I was like, yo, it's time for me to, spread my wings and see what I can do over here, man.
100, 100, man. I'm saying that sound good. Always good to get from where you from, cause you always do better.
Yes, sir, bro. Like I've learned a lot since I've been over here, from different mentors and teachers and stuff that you run into. You run into a lot of different walks of life when you actually get out your comfort zone, your environment, your area and stuff, and go out. And one thing I did learn is your environment and the people that you keep around you, and the information that y'all share each other, it definitely either going to help or hinder your growth, bro. And man, when I moved out, from the area, I'm not saying, I wasn't, growing over there in the Gaston County area. I was growing. It was just a lot of pain that came with it,
Right.
man. It was a lot of financial stuff that I was going through over there in that area. So I've learned a lot from that area, but it was like, it was time for me to learn something else. So when I started, moving over here to Jacksonville, I started running into a lot of people, because, once you get into your mind, you want something different. God start right. working with you and start putting people and places and things in your path that kind of, you know, goes along with what you're trying to do. And like I said, I wanted a change. I wanted something different. So that's what was going on, man.
100, man. I'm saying that. A question, how do you like, you know, your own successor bus page and, you know, group, and what set you on a path, you know, like to do that? I mean, like, I guess, you know, just moving to like a different, like scenery.
Well, the Facebook page that I created, Success or Bust, really comes from an after effect of my YouTube channel that I have called Reality Warpers. And
okay,
the YouTube
channel
is basically about growth, overall growth, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Eventually, I have financial growth information on there. That's some of the things that I'm learning over here in the Jacksonville area right now as we speak, just different financial things that we're not really taught about in college and stuff. So learning about the importance of credit, how to utilize credit properly so, you know, it works for you and not put you in more debt. The importance of life insurance, how to properly use life insurance, you know, just different things like that, you know, and other, you know, financial things, financial knowledge things, of course, as well. So I eventually have all of, you know, different little things like that on the channel. But as of right now, since it's a new upcoming starting channel, I'm kind of just focusing on the basics right now. And I'm talking about like physical growth. So taking care of your body properly, putting the right nutrients and stuff in your body, exercising properly, mental growth. So I'm talking about the people that you keep around you, your environment, like I spoke about that earlier. The information and stuff that you're putting in you know, your psyche. Some of us focus all day on social media, your phone, you know, and stuff like that, instead of reading like self-help books, psychology books, you know, looking when you're using your phone instead of using it for something positive, because you have the answer to pretty much anything right there on your phone. If I asked Google, yo, or YouTube, yo, how do I build this? They will have a step-by-step process right there to show me how to do whatever. So a lot of us just don't use the technology that we have properly. And I'm just, you know, talking about that kind of stuff, trying to give a different mindset change, you know, to people that actually run into my channel. And a lot of times, I really wanted to target like younger people around my age and below, because a lot of time to get this information, a lot of times people have to be older, go through life, you know, a little bit. And, you know, I'm not saying my life been harder than anybody else, but I kind of been through some things in life and I kind of ventured out a little bit. And I've, you know, the things that I've experienced, the things that I've learned, I want to express that to younger generation so they can catch it early. You know, a lot of times when people is talking to them about this kind of stuff, they're older, so they can't really relate to them like that. So if a younger person is coming up talking to them, all it takes is someone that's not afraid of looking different. Like, oh, I don't want to talk to them about that because, you know, they hood people, you know, and stuff. So they might not be into that kind of, I really don't care. I've been through, you know, enough through life where I just don't care whether, you know, you like what I'm talking about or not. I'm going to give my opinion. Yeah, I'm going to give my opinion. And if we not on the same vibration, either I'm going to leave or you're going to leave. Or you're going to get on board. You're going to, you know, be feeling what I'm talking about and get on the same vibration as me eventually. So, I mean, that's just how I live my life now, bro. And that's how I started the YouTube channel. And from the YouTube channel, like I spoke about earlier, a lot of us focus a lot on social media and stuff. And the Facebook page Success or Bust is basically people that find my channel. That's your right. first step into cleaning up your timeline. I can't clean your timeline up for you. You have to clean up your timeline, because the information and stuff that you're putting in, again, that's your the way you grow, or what's hindering you from growing. So if all you have is drama and stuff on your timeline, then of course you're not going to grow. So if you want more knowledgeable things, more motivational things, more spiritual uplifting information, then follow the YouTube channel and the Facebook channel, and that's a part of you cleaning up your timeline. Once you start getting a little bit of that information, if you're really serious about it, you start looking for other things that's similar to the information that you're getting. And that's all starting of one, you know, process of completely rewiring your brain from just being so stuck in a sheep type mode. You feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
So tell me, you know, like about your experience, you know, reading like self-help books, you know, and listening, you know, some books, you know, like to check out, you know, like if they never read like a self-help book.
Well, it's a few self-help books that you can run into it, and honestly, it just really depends on where you are in your life. With me and on my channel, I kind of like give like metaphors and kind of like general examples, and from those examples just kind of apply it to whatever is going on in your life, because everybody's life is different, you know. But as far as a self-help book that I feel like everybody could read, there's this book called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And I found this book by following this guy on YouTube called Immortal Minds. And he's a older guy, very knowledgeable, do a lot of reading and stuff, do a lot of, you know, uplifting and giving out good energy, good information and stuff. But a lot of times he mentioned the different books and stuff that he, you know, read. And just by listening to, you know, him, I went and found the book. And bro, after I read that book, it was mind blowing for me. But my experience with self-help books, before I get into that, when I first moved here to Jacksonville, I met a guy and the guy gave me a book called The Alchemist. I can't remember who wrote the book. It's Pablo something, the author of the book. But the book was basically about a young guy, and he was like on a new path in life, basically just traveling, which was kind of what I was going through at the time, which made me so interested in the book. One thing that I mainly took out of the book on why I really brought it up is the book was talking about something in life that we call omens. And omens are basically different signs that life throw you to like guide you on, you know, through the path of life. A lot of times we go through situations and we really don't know where to go, what to do, what decision to make, and all that kind of stuff like that. And life literally throws us hints that all the time we subconsciously avoid, like we don't pay attention to it, or, you know, we feel like, oh, nah, this sign is too blatant. I need another sign. So I'm looking, you know, that kind of thing. Like I know I shouldn't do this, but I need a sign saying that I shouldn't. That's your intuition, for one, is the first thing that told you not to do it. That's already an omen. If your intuition tells you, yo, I shouldn't do this, that's an omen already. And that's something initially that comes out with us that we avoid. So now because we are avoiding that, life have to send us other little omens throughout life to help us kind of guide, you know, our way. And that book kind of put emphasis on what that is. So because of that, I was more alert to them. Now that I've, you know, been, you know, alerted to them throughout a book, now I'm more alert to them throughout life. Now, as I'm walking through life, I'm listening more to my intuition. I'm listening more to the omens and the opportunities that's coming to me through life, you know, and it's really helping guide me. Of course, it's a process. It's a change. Change have always been slow. It's never been fast. So I understand and just learning patience and stuff. That's a part of the growth because how the world and stuff is made up. A lot of us want microwave success, and it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. It's a process that everyone must take. Everybody's process is different, but everybody must take that process. But getting back into the book Outwitting the Devil that I spoke about earlier, that was one of the other important books that I ran into. And that book is basically this guy named Napoleon Hill. He's interviewing the devil. So, like, you know, you're doing an interview with me right now. He's sitting talking to the devil. And the devil, he's asking the devil specific questions like, why do you do this? Or how do you do this? You know, those kind of questions or whatever. And the devil is answering those questions in specific ways. So it's basically telling you how you are basically downfalling yourself throughout life by certain things that you're doing or not doing or not paying attention to, you know, or something like that. Like, for example, just giving one example, it spoke about food, talking about the way we overeat, what it does to our body, us not detoxing our body. Our body is full of chemicals. The food that we eat is full of chemicals and, you know, different, you know, things that react with the chemicals in our body. So if we're not putting the proper foods and fuels in our body, then the body doesn't function properly, basically hindering you from being the best version of yourself. And the best version of yourself is what's going to help you in whatever your purpose is in life. At the end of the day, you have to have a purpose in life. You have to find whatever that purpose is in life. If you don't have the best body available to handle that purpose, you might fall into the purpose, but you might not do that purpose to the best of your abilities because of whatever bodily problem you have, you know? And sometimes the foods and stuff that you eat not only affect your body physically, but it affects your mind. So, you know, that's just getting into some deeper topics and stuff that I usually talk about on my YouTube channel or whatever. But everything is a frequency. So whatever you keep around you, whatever you put in your body, all of those are frequencies, and it literally changes the way your body and your mind reacts with itself. So when you're wondering why, you know, vegans or something like that, they don't eat certain foods, but they got more energy than people that eat heavy meats and all that kind of stuff, is what you're putting in your body. What foods are you putting in your body? Not the amount. Not, you know, how much, not the weight of food. It's what exactly are you putting in your body? Your body just needs nutrients. If you never ever noticed, like in Asia and all that kind of stuff like that, there are monks that literally will eat rice and fast for days. Their body is not working off of food. It's not working off of meats and all that kind of stuff. They eat like a grain of rice or, you know, whatever they eat. And that's their, you know, that's their body, but their body is in like peak condition, you know? So there's other ways to give nutrients and stuff to your body. It's just what exactly are you putting in your body? So, you know.
Right. That brings me like to my next question, like fitness then.
my take on fitness is I feel like fitness would be taken more seriously by people if they actually knew like what it does to your body spiritually. Because a lot of times a physical growth is not always, you know, like I ain't gonna say what's needed, but what's of interest. Some people don't really care if their body is the best shape, you know, but why? That's what I'm saying. You know, if I told you, yo, if you eat this, your body would be more immune to pretty much any disease or any sickness, then you will probably take it more serious than, hey, you should, you know, have a healthy body just so you can look good. You feel what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you have to go more in depth with why you are doing the fitness versus, you know, I'm just trying to get my body looking good for the summer. I'm trying to get my body looking good for this person or that person or whatever. Now you're focusing your fitness on the, you know, the appraisal of someone else. You want someone else to, you know, glorify you, your body, and how good you look and stuff like that. So if you don't get that glorification from them, now it doesn't matter to you anymore.
Right.
Versus I'm doing this for me because I know that if I take care of my body, whatever sickness, even if it does hit my body, I'm not going to be affected by it as much as someone who's not taking care of their body properly. The most healthiest person in the world was Dr. Sebi, and he's, you know, he healed every disease, went to court with it, and beat the Supreme Court with it. So you right. can't tell me that, you know, taking care of your body properly is, you know, it, there's something more to just, I want to look good. So that's how I feel about fitness. I feel like fitness is definitely something important that should be in everybody's life, but somebody have to like really put emphasis on the importance, like scientifically, what really does it do for your body? Like, what really does it do other than I look good? Other than, you know, I got a lot of stamina. I can run for a long time. I can have sex longer. Other than stuff like that, that's just a byproduct. That's just a byproduct of getting your body in shape. There are way deeper, you know, reasons of why fitness is important, and I go a lot more in depth with that on my YouTube channel, Reality Warpers. My channel, my videos and stuff, it ranges between like 25, 30 minutes long, you know, whatever. But the whole time, I'm dropping knowledge. I'm not, you know, just, you know, scattered all over the place, you know, just talking about little stories here, there. No, everything I talk about is something that, you know, I give out good information and good knowledge. I do different researches and stuff. And the research and stuff that I get a lot of time is from different doctors, different gurus, people that done been through certain walks of life, different monks and priestesses, all that kind of stuff when I'm, you know, going spiritual and, you know, different things like that. So
right question. Ain't that the government killed Sebi?
I'ma just say this. I was from the story that I saw, it was said that he died from pneumonia when he was in captivity. And I don't think the healthiest person in the world would die from pneumonia. So whether they did it, you know, directly or indirectly, you took him out of his environment that he was thriving off of. You took him from the foods and the medicines and stuff that he was taking that was good for his body at the time. Like I said, the information that you put in yourself, the environment that you put around you and stuff, that either hinders or helps your growth. and he had put himself in an environment that was helping his growth, and they took him out of it. So if he caught something, you know, because you took him out of his environment and you deprived him from the medicines that he was using and the foods that he was using to get rid of his sicknesses that he had already been doing for years, then, you know, take that how you want it.
Right. You're right though. Cause you know, like, it sounds like he very like knowledgeable, like on, like, I'm saying, like on a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, bro. I mean, like I said, he if he, you know, healed every sickness and actually proved it with numerous people that he've healed, you know, I mean, yo, that's pretty big, you know, and that's really something that's not really talked about a lot, because every time I speak to someone about this, they really don't know about, you know, he, you know, going to the Supreme Court and all of that kind of stuff. They really didn't know about that. I'm like, wow, this is a pretty big topic. That's crazy that a lot of people don't know about it, but yo.
Right. But do you prefer, like, let's like switch gears right now, like, do like you prefer the college game or the pro sports?
Okay, so I only really watch two sports. I watch basketball and I watch football. Football, I'm more of a college sports fan. I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, and they haven't been very good for too long, so I haven't really had an excitement to watch the NFL like that. And I'm a Gators fan, so you know, I dib and dab in college a little bit. You know, we've had our off and on years, you know, but it's still been more interesting than what's been going on in NFL for me. And NBA, I'm definitely more of a pro fan than a college fan. I actually could seem to never really get into the college, you know, feel like that. For some reason, I just can't, unless it's March Madness. That's like the only time I'm really into it, and then I'm not really into it then. I just really want to see who win, really.
Right.
Real, but
when it comes to college sports for me, I just like the program, you know, like I like North Carolina, right. I like Kansas, Kentucky, Memphis. I like the top program because, like, they produce a lot of talent, but it be like little, sometimes too now, like they be having their own like little and like
them boys like Gonzaga or something. It was one year they was taking off, and I was like, who is that? I don't know if Gonzaga is always in the, you know, tournament, but when I was watching it last time, they was talking as if, you know, they was a smaller school, and you know, they was really taking off. I was like, that's interesting, you know, somebody that ain't always, you know, in the mix is up there right now. So it makes it kind of interesting, which is kind of why I kind of fell off of the NFL a little bit, man. I mean, even though, you know, my NFL team ain't that good, it's just the fact that every year it was Tom Brady in the championship, and it just kind of bothered with me, bro. The reason I'm not really a big Tom Brady fan is because when I did start liking Jacksonville, and how I started liking Jacksonville is because when I went to it was called West Gaston then, but they had combined the middle school and the high school. So I was in seventh grade at the high school out there, and they had senior week, but spirit week, and they asked 1 week to you wear your favorite jersey or whatever, and I didn't have a jersey, so I went to my cousin's house. And he had two jerseys. He had a red Michael Vick jersey and a black Fred Taylor jersey. I knew who Michael Vick was, right. But because the Fred Taylor jersey was black and that was my favorite color, I got the black jersey. So I was like, man, I'm watching this. I'm wearing this man's jersey and I don't even know who it is. So let me check it out. And this was like around 2008, around in that area. And they have that Jacksonville was actually pretty good that year. They almost went to the Super Bowl, but they lost to Tom Brady in like the semifinals or something like that, off of Statue of Liberty. To play Statue of Liberty. Oh, bro. I was so hurt that year, bro. I was so hurt because we almost got to the championship, bro. Oh, man. But ever since then, I have not had a thrilling to watch him.
Right. I mean, what you think about him going to Tampa, though? Like, I feel like he should stay
Yeah, man, I don't know what he come down here to Tampa for, bro. You should have went somewhere else that's not in Florida. But I'm glad that, you know, he was able to come and bring a championship to Florida and stuff like that. You know, when things like that happen, it does bring a lot of money and business and stuff to the city. So, you know, I'm grateful for that, you know, bringing some income to Florida, especially during this, you know, crazy time now. Yeah, man, I still got that little itching on the inside from that loss, though.
But check this: what if he would have went to the Jaguars?
Now, if he would have went to the Jaguars and gotten them boys a championship, everything would have been forgiven. But he went to Tampa.
Yeah.
And then the crazy thing about that is I had a friend of mine's back at West Gaston, and he was a Tampa fan. Both of our teams were trash, but we was always arguing about who teams were the trashiest. So the fact that they just recently won a championship, oh my God, bro, it just took my heart away.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. I mean, because I think Tampa got the most like recent Super Bowl, you know, like with Derrick Brooks, Warren Sapp them.
Yep. So Jacksonville been kind of hurting lately, but I'm hoping with the new quarterback, the new change of head coach and all of that kind of stuff, hopefully like he can change the culture of Jacksonville and just bring that winning culture, you know. Back when like Fred Taylor and Jones Drew, Mike Peterson, Reggie Nelson, Rashad Williams, all of them boys, man, we had a squad over there. We definitely had a squad.
Yeah, like that sound like a championship caliber team.
What, bro? It was a tight end. I mean, not a tight end, but a fullback from Florida State that we had two that was on the team, and boy was he big.
You to my Greg Jones?
Yeah, there you go. Greg Jones, man. That used to be my boy. You know, even though he went to Florida State, I forgive that. But you know, I'm a Gators fan. I forgive that. But you know, man, buddy used to, you know, he used to be the real deal, man. So we had a squad.
Okay. What's your take on LeBron?
Oh, now this is my thing. This is my thing. With that, there's so many different ways the GOAT is, you know, described by a lot of different analysts and different fans of the game and stuff like that, but. I just look at it from like a broader point of view, because a lot of people say Michael Jordan is the GOAT. And when you ask why he the GOAT, they be like, oh, well, he won 6 rings and he was undefeated. And I'm like, okay, well, Bill Russell won 11, though. So, I mean, yeah, he lost one, yeah. But look at how many times he went in a row and he won 11. So if you really count rings as far as what's considered to be the GOAT, he's not even brought up in the conversation, which is what's funny, what's crazy to me, you know, whatever. Most dominant person is of the game. I mean, it's not really spoke Michael Jordan as the most dominant. When they talk about dominant, they talk about Shaq. They talk about Wilt Chamberlain. You know, those kind of guys, bigger guys, more, you know, aggressive playing guys. Those was what they considered to be more dominant. The best shooter might not consider the best shooter ever. A lot of people consider Steph Curry the best shooter of, you know, in basketball. Some people say Durant is the best shooter or offensive weapon, you know, or whatever, can shoot anywhere on the court, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, Mike was an offensive genius. You know, he was. He had the mid game, the post game, can float in the air. What his vert was, 42, 48 or something like that, whatever. You know, yeah, he can do all that, but it's just like, you know, as far as like touching every spot of the court, he wasn't known as that person, you know? So as far as like GOAT, I never really understood why they say, well, Michael Jordan the GOAT, other than he won 6 rings and was undefeated. I'm like, yo, it's at the end of the day, it is a team game. So he had a lot of help with that. Yeah, he was the engine of it, but at the same time, he had a star and Scottie Pippen, that, well, he grew into his stardom, but he was, you know, still top five of the league when he was playing. He had Scottie Pippen. He eventually got Dennis Rodman, which was Defensive Player of the Year and a champion before he even came to play with Michael. And he had Phil Jackson, which is considered like the best NBA coach his entire, you know, career, pretty much, until he went to Washington. So he had a lot of help. The reason why I think LeBron is the GOAT is because he didn't have as much help as Jordan. A lot of people talk about the people that LeBron played with. He played with this name and this name and that name. At the time he played with these guys, the guys that he played with was not in their prime. They had the name. They did not have the game at the time. When he played with Shaq in Cleveland, Shaq was not Shaq from the Lakers. When he played with Bosh and Wade, Bosh had heart problems eventually. It was one game he had 0 points in the finals. Wade was hurt consistently every year. You did not have prime Wade. Like, he was a good player. He was a great, like, you know, he was still a superstar type player, but he wasn't, you know, the Wade from 2008 championship. Bosh was not Toronto Bosh. The most, you know, prime player that he played with was Kyrie. And Kyrie was hurt most of the time. When he got to the finals, the first year they played against Golden State, he got the game six by himself against the best record team in history with no star. Kyrie had got hurt first play, and Kevin Love had got hurt before the finals even started. So he got all the way to game six and with no coach. Like, the coach that he had was not Phil Jackson. The coach that he had in Miami, remember his name, Spoelstra. At the time, Spoelstra was a rookie. He tried to get rid of Spoelstra. So Spoelstra didn't have this experience at the time. So, you know, the players that he played with in Cleveland, bro, you know how trash Cleveland was the first 7 years he was there, like 7, 9 years or whatever amount of time he was there before he left and went to Miami. Bro, they was complete trash. And when he left, where were they every year? In the lottery. Even with Kyrie in the lottery.
I bet so, they were first and third pick.
That's what I'm saying. They was complete garbage, bro. Even Miami, when he left Miami, they wasn't like in the playoffs and stuff. Like, they probably wasn't in the lottery like that, but they wasn't a very good team. So what I'm saying is he just used what he have and done a lot more than what people, you know, that need more help. That's what I'm saying. You know, he need a lot less help than other people, you know, and then every year he just continues to adapt his game. He have the longevity, you know. He's eventually going to score the most points in history, and he's not considered a scorer. He's going to be in top three of, you know, assists, but no, I mean, people still not understanding that he's at least in the same category as Magic when it comes down to point guards, like as far as like size and just sticking him in that category of point guard with Magic. There's been no point guards like LeBron James or Magic Johnson. There haven't been point guards like that. LeBron is just more athletic than Magic and have a better offensive game. That's it.
Now, like, I feel like you said this, you know, about that 2015 finals, you know, like when they don't put too much emphasis on that because that man had finals that damn year. Like, goddamn, LeBron.
He did. He damn sure did, bro. But, you know, what I don't like about, you know, people that just can't let the old school go is because it's like, I don't know if they just feel like they're going to be forgotten or whatever, but in a way, it's kind of disrespectful to, like, you know, the technology and stuff that we have as far as evolution, human evolution. You know, you supposed to expect the athletes of today to be better than the athletes of yesteryear because we have better technology. We have better workout equipment. We have better workout programs. We eat better, more proper food. We have more rejuvenation, body rejuvenation tools and stuff. LeBron got the hyperbolic time chamber and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and all that. So you supposed to expect the people of this generation to be better than last generation of people. Just like you supposed to expect LeBron kids and D-Wade kids and stuff. We supposed to expect them to be better than LeBron them. Why you expect them to be better? Because they're getting all of the knowledge and information at young ages that their parents had to get through experience over time.
Right.
So they're getting all of the knowledge and stuff before they even get to the pros. So if they already get that and perfect that as they continuously grow in the pros, they supposed to be better than the last. So I just feel like not being able to let the past go, like, oh, the past gonna always be better than, you know, this, and they play so. That's one thing that I just never really understood, the conversation with Jordan. Physicality always is brought up in the conversation as if the men of today's NBA are just childish, weak kids. Like, they've never played physical before. Like, bro, like, these dudes can handle themselves, I'm sure. But the reason the rule changed from physicality is because that's not playing basketball. You're just hurting each other. You're in hurting an investment. You don't have on pads and stuff like football players where they're allowed to be aggressive. You're just now hurting the investment. Some people aren't, you know, physically, you know, fit enough like people to continuously taking a beating. That's why when Jordan was going through the Jordan rules and stuff, what he did, got into the gym. His body wasn't strong enough to continuously taking those kind of beatings. And even if it did, it still messed with you psychologically. But he had to take 2 years off.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
That could be, you know, a mixture of whatever. But, bro, just think about it, bro. People talk about, well, if Jordan was in today's NBA, he'll average 60. I'm like, bro, that's so disrespectful to the people of today, bro. Like, defense now is more, you know, technical and stuff. They have little, you know, tricks and stuff that they do. It's not, you know, like physical defense. So they had to adjust over time and play differently. So like the flop thing, that was an adjustment over time. So now it's when you try to get aggressive with me, I'll just file you out and you can go over there and sit down.
Right.
That's just a style of the game. That's a strategy of the game now. And along with you sitting down, guess what? I'm finna sit up here and get 2 to 3 free, easy points. That's just a tactic, bro. So it's not like, oh, you hurt me. No, bro, I just did that to fake it, to sit you down and get these easy points. I won the game. You can talk about all of that you want to talk about, but I won the game. James Harden got how many?
Free throws.
No, not free throws. Scoring titles because of that. You know?
You're right.
So it's just a style of play. But if you had to adjust to the style of play, bro, I feel like LeBron, 260 pounds, 6'9", would be okay with being physical.
You're right. What you think about him this year? You know, coming into his way is 19.
Now, what I like about him is just every year he learns to adapt his game. God rest Kobe's soul, you know, and all of that. But what I didn't like about his game is that he never really relied on his teammates like LeBron did. LeBron, he will kick it to, you know, the wide open man, you know, even though that wide open man been missing, you know, most of the game. It's just you giving that player confidence versus you killing this player confidence. You're not going to pass him the ball in this game. So now next game, he's not going to be at his best. You just destroy his whole mental. Like, professional sports is not only a physical game, but it's a mental game as well. So because you're destroying the mental of all of your teammates around you by you not sharing the ball as much, getting them in the game, showing them that they're needed, you're destroying the help that you're going to get in the playoffs when it gets a lot more physical, when it gets a lot more tactic. When they, like, for example, with Giannis, Giannis play a certain way, but when they get to the playoffs, they create the wall. They done made a complete different game than what they did in the regular season. They did the same thing for Kobe. And because of that, Kobe stayed hurt. He didn't have the body to continuously take the, you know, physical pounding that he was taking.
I mean, how did Kobe stay hurt, though?
Just think about it. Some people's body is just not made for it. Kobe was one of the hardest working people. So it wasn't because he wasn't eating right. It wasn't because he wasn't working out properly. Bro, it's just some things your body just cannot take. Look at how LeBron's body is made physically versus how Kobe's body is made physically. Skinnier person, shorter person, less muscle mass. You get what I'm saying? So some things your body is just not made for.
Do you remember OC Kobe when he packed on all that muscle?
Right. But the thing is, because of Kobe's height and stuff, his joints couldn't hold all of that weight.
Right.
His body is not made to be a bigger stature person. Now, this is what I felt about Kobe. If Kobe would have, like, when he got Dwight Howard, if Kobe would have just transitioned over and just start letting Dwight be more of the centerpiece and he convert to, like, being a spot up shooter or like the clutch time kind of person just to get them over the lump, I feel like Kobe's career would have went longer and he probably would have won another championship. But because of his style of play, which is just like Jordan's style of play, look at what happened to him. So when people talk about, oh, if Jordan played in nowadays, he'll score 60. I'm like, no, he would not. He probably would be hurt a lot more often. And even if he did score 60 and stuff, who else going to be on his team scoring? Like, when it's only one person on the team, look at all the teams right now that have one person that's the offensive weapon. One person. Durant, Westbrook, Dame, Steph. When it's only them, even though they can score a shit ton of points, James Harden, what happens? They don't make it, bro. So what's the difference between them and Michael Jordan just because his name is Michael Jordan? You know, that's why I mean, like, you know, people just be disrespectful and they just be delusional when they don't really think about that kind of stuff, bro. Like, the teams that are playing now are more athletic overall. Like, Jordan played some historically great teams and stuff like that. But if you look at the overall NBA, bro, he was playing against half of them was mailmen, bro. What, Muggsy was like four feet or something like that? Who in the NBA is 4 feet now? Isaiah Thomas was the last one that was like four, and he was good, but where he at right now? That's what I'm saying. Isaiah Thomas ain't playing, bro. He trying to get on the team right now.
Yeah. I think the Heat looking down on like the Lakers.
Yeah. But I'm saying, look, where have he been on a consistent basis in today's NBA? That's what I'm saying. Like some of those teams that Jordan was playing back then, bro, they wouldn't even make it in the play-in game now. You think they beating Steph and Klay? Klay scored 30 points in a quarter. What?
Right.
Come on, bro. And then another thing with the physicality thing, I'm going to name a few people. Shaq, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Stoudemire, Ron Artest. Do you feel like they would have, you know, survived the physicality of the 80s and the 90s?
I feel like it was.
Okay, so LeBron beat those guys. So if he survived the physicality of those guys, what make y'all think that he won't survive the physicality of somebody that's not even in the same weight class as him? Back then, bro, I looked at the roster of the Detroit Pistons that was beating Jordan behind until he got help from Scotty and stuff. But, bro, Bron is bigger than every center for, like, a whole decade on that team. He's either taller than them or he weighs more than them or both. Those are the centers of that year, bro. Come on, man. But he couldn't survive the physicality. But that's why I feel like, you know, as far as GOAT debate, he deserves to be in it. No, he probably don't have the most rings, but as far as the overall person, like the overall player, the mindset, the adaptability, the longevity, the body, him being able to, you know, work with less, you know, whether that's less talent on the team, whether that's less, you know, intelligence as far as head coaches and front office, because they can't get nobody to come and play with him. Like when he was in Cleveland, like he dealt with so much that if any other star would have been in that situation, I mean, bro, look at Carmelo. Carmelo is considered a better offensive player than LeBron, but where he's been. Right. Exactly. So just because you got a good offense, bro, because of how today's game is, people being more athletic, the defense and stuff being better, you know, just like the defense of today's football is better. That's because they looked over different offensive plays and learned how to beat those plays. Okay. Over time, they look at offensive plays in NBA and they figure out how to stop those plays without getting fouled out. They had to adapt to that.
Do you think the Lakers gonna win this year? Like, better question. Do you think that like the Lakers big three better than like the Knicks big three?
I don't feel like their big three is better. And the reason why I say that is not because of the individual talents, it's because of the collective group talents. I feel like the Nets big three fits and gels together a little bit better than the Lakers big three. Anthony Davis is, of course, more of a center, power forward kind of guy. Westbrook is a drive kind of guy. LeBron, he kind of been adapting to different places over the court, you know, mid-range, working on his mid-range, working on his three. He still need to work on those free throws a little bit, but he, you know, been working on different things where he's not just a drive kind of guy. Of course, that's still his best game, but he's not considered just that. You know, Westbrook, in my opinion, would be considered more of a drive kind of guy. He's never really been, you know, big on the three-point shot like that.
Right.
So the thing, what I feel, though, if they do win, I feel like that says a lot more to LeBron just because he's working with pieces that don't really fit with him. Like, he's done so much in his career, whether that's, you know, taking the trashiest team to ever get to the NBA Finals, to the Finals, and yeah, they got swept. But look at who they played against. They played against three Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame coach in Popovich when he lost to them, and he was in, like, his third season. Remember, he came straight from high school to the pros. Buddy, 18.
Buddy is 18
doing this now, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21. He's rounding his age, going to the NBA Finals and playing against three, four Hall of Famers.
Right.
And eventually had to play against Kawhi with the same squad, the same three Hall of Famers and Hall of Fame coach, plus Kawhi, which eventually is going to be a Hall of Famer one day. So, he ain't never had that type of squad. Say what you want about Miami. I just explained and went in detail. Like, he had an old team around him, old shooters. Ray Allen was old. Mike Miller was old. Shane Battier was old. I can't remember what's that old dude name. That was one of the Fantastic Four in college. I can't remember his name. Haslam was old. I mean, look at that. Howard. But look at all of these old guys. The main core was Bosh and Wade. Bosh, again, he wasn't Toronto Bosh. And eventually he ended up having heart problems where he had to have surgery. So he didn't even get, you know, to the prime Bosh or the good version of Bosh. He just had a pretty decent player, tall, smart, you know, that's basically what he used, you know,
right.
He was, you know, still had his little athleticism and stuff like that, but he was more of a point guard kind of person, throwing up lobs while Bron just hanging up in the air. I mean, that's really what Wade was, really, bro. That's really what Wade was, because he was always hurt. He couldn't really, you know, drive and stuff like that because the defense that they was going to put on him was going to be too much. He was going to be just like Kobe. So.
Okay, question. I mean, like, it's, since we're speaking on LeBron in Miami, what if LeBron wouldn't have went to Miami? He would have went to, like, the Lakers and teamed up with Kobe.
I don't like that. I wouldn't have liked that. It would have. Yeah, it would have. I think it would have. But I wouldn't have liked that for his career just because I just felt like it would have been too easy that way. They already talk about that he had an easy path when he really, really didn't. They just looking at the names that he played with. He really, really didn't have an easy path. If you look at the teams that he played with after he left, they was garbage. So he really didn't have help. It was him that really got them there. It wasn't even head coach. You can't even say, well, he had a good head coach. You can't even say that. Most of them was rookies. Or, like, within their first 5 years. So they really didn't have, you know, that good of experience. Vogel is, like, the most experienced coach that he ever had. So, I mean, but what I would have preferred him do is stay in Miami. If he would have went to Miami, stayed in Miami, I feel like by now he would have had more than 4 or 5 rings. He probably would be sitting on about 6 rings right now. He won 2. He won 2 in Miami. Think about this. He won 2 in Miami. He went back and won 1 in Cleveland. Now, the team that he had in Miami was better than what he had in Cleveland. I said the team, not the players. Kyrie is better than anybody that he played with on Miami, including Wade, in my opinion, just because Wade was not in his prime at the time. I didn't say Kyrie was better than prime Wade. I said he was better than the version of Wade Bron played with in Miami. That's just my opinion. Okay.
I feel like the best he had was like Davis, though, the best player ever he played with.
You can say that just because of the size and the skill set, you know, what him being a big man that could blow a little bit. But as far as overall mentality being available, you know, because of him being hurt and all that kind of stuff like that, I still feel like it's in between Wade and Kyrie. And the reason why I say Kyrie is because I feel like Kyrie played a bigger role in them winning the champ, helping Bron win that championship than Wade did with Bron winning the championship. Cause yeah, he was, you know, he was giving lobs and, you know, scoring his points and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they still had a better overall team. They had better shooters over in Miami. So they had a more supporting cast than they did in Cleveland. In Cleveland, his main help was Kyrie. That was his main, even though he had Love was there for mainly like rebounds. He wasn't even, you know, the offensive weapon he was when he was with the Timberwolves. He wasn't even that then. He was mainly converted into rebounds and a defensive, you know, person, you know? So right. I just feel like he had more of an opportunity in Miami because Miami is one, it was, you know, a nicer place than Cleveland. So you couldn't really bring people to, you know, Cleveland to say, hey, come enjoy the city. That's not why players come to, you know, Cleveland, you know, or whatever. So they already had the city to present, taxes, tax-free, you know, state, you know, and they had a better front office, they had a better owner, and they had a better coach than in Cleveland. So if he would have stayed in Cleveland, even if Bosch and Wade went on and retired and the other guys went on and retired and stuff there, I feel like another superstar would have been more prone to come and play with him in Miami than in Cleveland. So if he could have gotten somebody like Dame to leave Portland. Or something, come over there, or another big man or something like that, I'd feel like he would have had more talent to, you know, come to Miami, and he would have probably won more in Miami. Not only that, how many people are gonna say no to Pat Riley?
right, you got a point,
bro. That's the Godfather. That man was getting him pretty much anything he wanted every year, man.
Well, you know what, Brandon, be like to my last question, like you kind of like touched on it on like a little earlier when you heard spirituality, what the first thing that like, comes to your mind?
Openness. Spirituality is different than religion. In religion, you kind of have a tradition that you go by. Whatever the tradition of the people of that religion is, that's usually what you go by. In spirituality, there are certain things that's practiced that's not practiced in religious settings. Therefore, you're a little bit more open-minded to, you know, more spiritual things. So just giving an example, how many places, how many religions you hear talk about going out and sun gazing or going out and taking your shoes off and walking bare feet in the grass?
Right.
The only religion you really hear that speak like that is the Asian religion, Buddhists. stuff like that. Those like the main, that's like the main religion you hear talk about, that kind of stuff. But those are some of the things that are practiced in spirituality, along with meditation and, you know, yoga and, you know, different stuff like that. So spirituality is just another way of connecting with God, connecting with the universe, connecting with your higher self. It all means the same. It's just different wording. Even in the Bible, he say that I'm known by many names. Even in Christianity, you call him different names. Jehovah. He got like 40 Jehovah names. Jehovah Wheat, Nisi, Jehovah, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, he got another name, Yahshua, or, you know, whatever. He got, you know, many names. He got many names. So when you're talking about your higher self, the universe, source, all that power source, whatever, it all means the same thing. That's, you know, what it means in spirituality. That's what I mean by having an open mind, because and I don't have no, you know, hard feelings or hatred towards religion or anything like that. But in a way, if you're too deep into it, too much of anything is bad. You kind of get blinded to certain things. And because you're blinded to certain things, it kind of stops your growth at a certain point. You can't get past this point because your belief, you know? So like, you know, saying, for example, if I was to say we are gods or something like that in a Christian church, that might be frowned upon. But yeah, in spirituality, by stating that, that's you realizing how much power you actually have in you. So now your connection with God is not just through the preacher, through the priest, through the pastor, or your bishop, or whatever. You have the power to actually connect with him and all of his blessings that he's blessed you here with, because you don't have that middleman right there. You can go straight to the source, or you can go straight, you know, to God, you know? So as far as spirituality, you have to be open-minded. You have to basically, once someone steps into a life of spirituality, you kind of have to rewire your brain a little bit, because your conscience been, you know, wrapped around so many different beliefs. So in order to understand spirituality and to be open-minded, you have to release some of those blockages. So just by being able to admit that you are a God, that right there give you power. The fact that you can't admit that, that's hindering you from growing into yourself. That's hindering you from growing into the higher version of yourself, because you can't even admit what you are. You are a spirit living in a human body. You are a spirit. So that spirit is God. That spirit is from God. God blew his breath in Adam. He literally gave us his spirit. So you are a God. You are an extension of him. So the connection is through him, not through somebody else just because you go to church on Sunday. That's not where the connection comes from. If you need guidance, that's what religion is for. People that don't have a spiritual life at all, they don't know nothing about God. That's why I say come as you are and all that kind of stuff. That's for people that don't have any guidance. But just like everything else, just like school, you outgrow a certain teaching. So once you've been in, you know, a religion for so long, in order to actually get to that next step, you actually have to step out that religion. Even Jesus did that. In the Bible, they took out like 60 books or 66 books in the Bible. But there's a part in those books that they've taken out where Jesus actually left from his environment and went to Tibet and meditated, became enlightened, and he came back and got baptized by John. So he even left to learn a different way of growing spiritually. So if Jesus can do it, why can't we? So
I got you.
That's what I feel about spirituality, you know?
I mean, this, you know, like, oh, your take, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean,
appreciate the invite too, man. It's pretty dope what you've been doing, bro. I've been checking you out on your social medias and stuff, man. I really don't be on social media like that because I know how it works on your mind. If you can't, you know, really control getting lost in that kind of stuff. So I really don't get on that much unless I'm getting on for, you know, dropping some, you know, inspirational or motivational things or some knowledge or something like that, or, you know, I'm dropping a video, or I'm trying to do some business. Like I said, I've been working into credit repair and life insurance. So sometimes I get on there and promote my business and stuff like that, you know, trying to see if anybody needs some help, you know, or whatever. But I definitely be checking you out, man. I be seeing you and stuff. And I just want to say one more thing. I've joined an association of mentors that's helping people, just like on my YouTube channel, growing physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, just any kind of growth that you're looking for. Because at the end of the day, that's what your purpose is. As far as being here on Earth, your purpose is to help the human race in some kind of way. You know, some people might have a bigger, you know, way to help people. Some people might, you know, help their little community or whatever. Some people, you know, the way they spirit and stuff is lined up, they supposed to touch, you know, magnitudes of people, a whole country of people, you know, or whatever. Some people even touch the world, you know. But at the end of the day, our purpose is to be here to help each other. So I've joined a association called Wiser Reality, and there's one of the mentors that had his own association already called Wiser Adults, and my association, which is Reality Warpers, which is my YouTube channel on YouTube, and we combine those together and we created Wiser Reality. So, you know, it's just for people that want mentorship and, you know, spiritual growth, physical growth, learning how to align your body. There's three parts that you must align for things to flow properly in your life. That's your physical life, your mental life, and your spiritual life. And we just basically teach you how to align those things through meditation, teaching you the proper energy to be around, the proper fuel to put in your body, different things that you do spiritually, like I said, open-mindedness and stuff. So there are certain routines that you would do, just like in church where they do eat the blood of Jesus and all of that kind of stuff. They do that like every third Sunday or something, you know.
Right.
There are certain routines spiritually that you do, or certain prayers and stuff that you pray that helps you in your spiritual growth. And as you continuously grow spiritually, it's other things that you do. So like, for example, if you in a karate class, you not finna learn one technique the whole time. After you become a red belt, all right, we done with that. We ain't finna teach that no more. I'm finna teach you something else. Once you a brown belt, all right, we done with whatever we learned in a red belt. Finna teach you something else. Black belt, all right, I'm finna teach you something else. All right, that's basically what we do. And depending on where you are spiritually, when you come to us, we put you in, you know, specific classes with specific mentors that specialize in certain things or certain aspects of life. Some people just need, you know, certain counseling or therapy or whatever, even, you know, marriage counseling. We even have a mentor for that as well, you know, just growth, period. Being able to take away certain stresses, that's a growth. Because once you take away those certain stresses, you're able to think properly. Once you're able to think properly, you're able to make certain decisions better. So if you can erase financial problems, health problems, marriage problems, girlfriend problems, you know, emotional problems, I'm always depressed, I'm always sad, I'm always lonely, I'm always, you know, confused, I don't have friends, I don't know what to do with my time, I always procrastinate, I don't know how to grow financially, that kind of stuff. Once you erase that kind of stuff and you're, you know, guided by certain mentors and stuff, a lot of times that's all you need to get that little push to, you know, get to that next level, you know. And just teaching people about investing in themselves. You have to invest in yourself. You will always be your best investment. You will always be your best investment, because the skills and the knowledge and stuff you learn, they can't take it away from you.
Right, right, so, right.
You know, by investing in yourself, finding these certain mentors, even like on YouTube, I've the guy that I spoke about, I got that book from, Outwitting the Devil. He have a mentorship program online, and he have a online classes, courses, or whatever. Well, you know, you pay your little money or whatever, and boom, you got videos and stuff where he's breaking certain stuff down, you know, and all that. You have to invest in yourself, because once you do that kind of thing, a lot of times that's where you find those little omens that you was missing. You know, life was right. Number one, the omens that I found was the book, Outwitting the Devil. Bro, you gotta find that book. Like, it's on YouTube. Like, it's an audio book. I listen to a lot of audio books, so it's on YouTube for free. But it's a
right. Those audio books are game changer, ain't it?
Yes, bro. Because a lot of us don't like to sit down and read. A lot of us don't have that attention span, you know, whatever. But just, you know, adding a little bit of that into your day every day, like 10, 15 minutes of listening to it instead of listening to, you know, your music or whatever, just listen to 10, 15 minutes of the audio book. Yo, you just, you know, little by little, adding things that's going to help you grow. And eventually, you're going to want to listen to more audio books. You're going to want to listen to more than 10 to 15 minutes. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to be listening to a whole hour, you know, just because you're interested. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you have to do things outside of your comfort zone to see if that's what you like to do. A lot of us don't know how to find our purpose because we don't step outside of our comfort zone. All we do is go to work, go home, sleep, eat, do it all over again. You can't find your purpose if that's like what you're doing on a consistent basis. Like, you have to add something else into that. A lot of times, finding out your hobbies and what you like to do, a lot of times that's a part of what your purpose is. It's on the inside of you, but for a reason. You like to do this for a reason. So whatever that is, you might can do that to help somebody. You have to figure out what your hobbies is and what you love to do, though. You can't just go to work and go home and think that that's your purpose, because it's not.
You're right. So you're right. You're
that's
right.
What
but
we
you know
teach.
What?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what though? Like, check this out. Like, society, like, if you don't have a job, like a vehicle, saying like, regardless of what it is, go to college, things like that right there.
Mm-hmm.
Versus try to open up a business or reading books, they consider you a failure. But then when you make it, they was always for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, like that.
Right.
Like, it
but,
what you said. You got to do your own thing.
See, this is the thing about media. Media always have a way of putting emphasis on the things that's not important and not putting enough emphasis on the things that is important. So, yeah, you might not have a job and all that kind of stuff like that, but what they don't really show you is the people that usually are the most successful people are the ones that didn't go to college, are the ones that didn't finish school and stuff. But the way their mind and stuff ticked the way the ideas and things that they had flow in their mind, the environment that they put themselves around. They probably wasn't the most popular person in school, so they wasn't always going to the parties and all that kind of stuff. So what was they doing? Reading, learning, putting more knowledge and information and stuff in their head that actually helped them grow and made their, you know, thought processes and stuff tinker. They the ones that became millionaires, and the people that went to school and stuff, they're paying them to do their job for them. So they're right. Not really putting emphasis on that until you get around the part of society that shows that. And if you're not going on the right, you know, places on YouTube and stuff like that, if you're not doing it that way, how many of us are actually around that type of environment? How many people are around Jeff Bezos and, you know, Bill Gates and all that, those kind of people on a consistent basis? Not many, because they have a certain circle. Nah. They understand how important it is to keep only certain people around you, because those people giving you certain energy.
Right.
So a lot of times, you know, the media don't really put emphasis on, you know, the most important stuff. That's another thing that we put emphasis on over at Wiser Reality. We talk about, you know, actually going out and doing your research on things, question things. Somebody say something, if it don't really go along with what your thought process is, your mindset is, or whatever, go out and do your research. But the part of adaptability is, once you learn new information and it's correct information, you change your way of thought. If you refuse to change your way of thought just because it goes against what you currently believe, you're not going to grow. You can't adapt that way. And what happens to any and everything, whether that's a person, a business, an animal, or whatever, what happens when they don't adapt to their surrounding? It dies. Exactly. He couldn't adapt to his area. He couldn't adapt to his environment because he had been taking in so much alkaline food. When he started getting that acidic food from him, unless they were just starving him, period, you know, or whether he starved himself because he knew that the food that they was giving him wasn't the healthiest of foods. Either way, he couldn't adapt to his area and he passed and died. Same thing with any animal, caveman. If you move a polar bear out of the Arctic, he can't adapt to the heat, so he dies. A business, if it can't adapt to the new changes of technology, it dies. Taxi.
Right.
Taxi couldn't adapt to Uber, so it died. So,
You're right.
Yeah, man. So just, you know, being an adaptive human, that's being, you know, coming into your power and stuff, bro. So just, that's the kind of stuff I'm teaching over at Reality Warfers on my YouTube channel. So if everybody that's listening, go over and follow my YouTube channel, you might find a little bit of knowledge that'll help you out. You might not. Who knows? But if you don't share it, and somebody that is supposed to touch, it'll eventually get to them, you know? Or if you're interested in, you know, getting mentored or anything like that, I have my email on the descriptions on the YouTube channel. So just click on the description. My email is there. And we can set something up where, you know, we can start a mentorship. You know, of course, it's a fee. You know, you go right through.
Like, I already subscribed to your channel, though.
Oh, I appreciate that, bro. I really do appreciate that, bro. Yeah, man. But to go through the different things through life, a lot of people don't want to go through it. But that's all a part of growth. So, you know, being able to pay somebody for their knowledge and their information, that's just you giving good energy and me reciprocating that energy, because now I'm going to give you something, you know, that's going to help you grow versus you just giving me your money and you looking good. For example, like you going spending money on Jordans or a new watch or some new belt, you know, you done gave your money, it make you look good, but it don't, do nothing for you as far as growth, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, it don't help you grow in no kind of way. So just investing in yourself, you know, whatever. And bro, it really, really helps, bro, because I've done the same, you know. And sometimes just, you know, moving out your environment, people scared to move out their environment. When I moved over here to Jacksonville, I was homeless for like 3 months, bro. I slept in my car for 3 months until I was able to find me, get me a place over here. But that's the kind of stuff that you're paying for. You didn't have to make that transition. You didn't have to leave your comfort zone and, you know, be homeless for 3 months. You didn't have to meet so many different strange people and stuff and have conversations with them. And the kind of stuff that I've learned and stuff on that path, this is the kind of stuff that I'm teaching you. So you skipping ahead of the line and just paying that little money to get that information and knowledge.
Okay, for the people who like listening though, how much is the fee though? I'm saying like they can know.
Well, because it just started out, I'm not gonna charge too much. With Reality Warpers, if you go through Reality Warpers, I have my own prices and stuff what I charge for my mentorship. I ain't gonna get into too, you know, pricing and stuff over the phone, but but if you was to email me, we could talk about that. But there's also a different pricing if you would like to join the Wiser Reality Association, because you're getting access to a lot more information, many more mentors, and just, you know, a lot more experiences and stuff. We do things like spiritual trips. So there are certain places on earth that's, you know, give a more spiritual vibration. And there are some mentors that I'm working with that can actually feel those vibrations. So we do field trips for people and take them to these places. These places help heal, like, you know, certain sicknesses, illnesses, and, you know, just your mood change, you know, for people that's been depressed or sad or feeling lost or lonely or confused or whatever. A lot of times just being in certain environments help change the frequency of your brain, you know, teaching you about what frequencies is, what wavelengths is, you know, that kind of stuff, because a lot of people don't understand. They hear it and it just sounds like some voodoo hoodoo kind of stuff, but it's actually very scientific. You know, a lot of stuff that I deal with, I was a little science nerd in school. I like to look up the scientific purposes of it. Now, some things in spirituality, you can't really explain. So, you know, everything, you can't find scientific, you know, information about it. But there is scientific information about frequencies and wavelengths. And we explain that kind of stuff and how it affects your body, you know, and, you know, your thought process and your spirituality, everything. We talk about how it actually affects you. You can't get anything if you're not on the same wavelength as that. So whatever you want, it don't matter how much you wanted it. If you're not on that same wavelength as it, you're not going to get it. And we explain what we mean by that, you know, through Eyes of Reality and a little bit on Reality Warpers. So.
Gotcha. Before we wrap everything up, you know, like you spoke about, you didn't want to go over, you know, prices and stuff over the phone. So, you know, do you got anybody that you want to shout out, or, you know, like I tell people, you know, like where to find you at on the media outlets?
I don't have any shout outs. I ain't going to do no shout outs because I don't want, you know, to miss some names and people feel left out and all that kind of stuff like that. But
they understand.
But shout out to my family. Shout out to Wiser Reality Association. Shout out to my homeboys. Y'all already know who y'all is, you know. You can find me on Facebook at Mike J. Wynn. That's W Y NN. You can follow my Facebook page at Success or Bust. You can follow me on Instagram at Mike the Alien. That's one of my older names that I used or whatever. But that's Mike D-A-A-L-I-E-N. Mike the Alien, and it's the same on Snapchat. I actually just made a TikTok as well, and TikTok and YouTube are both Reality Warper. Reality Warpers.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, it was good like speaking with you, man. Like I love, you know, like the like get back on here. I'm saying like do another set.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. I really enjoyed myself. This is definitely something different for me, man. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm going to holler at you then, dog.
Yes, sir, man. Be safe out there, bro.
All right, on you too.
All right.